Hi, this is Bob Lapine. Did you know that if you stacked 3 million pancakes, one on top of each other, the stack would go 12 miles high? And did you know that 3 million marbles weigh more than 7 tons? And did you know that each year there are listeners like you who help fund the creation and the downloading of more than 3 million podcasts? Now, those 3 million podcasts cannot be stacked 12 miles high and they don't weigh 7 tons, but it does take a lot of work on the part of our team and a certain amount of money to get the podcasts into your MP3 player. So we just want to say thanks to the group of you who have already kicked in a little money to help cover the cost of producing this podcast, or at least to cover a portion of it. Of course, there's always room for one more, but for those of you who are already giving to make today's podcast possible, thanks a lot. Now, here is today's edition of Family Life Today. When their children reach a certain age, Jim and Geraldine Bogier take their kids on what they refer to as a rite of passage trip. It's a combination of serious business and some serious fun.
Well, don't we all like to get away? We oftentimes do retreats. It helps our people think and dream and talk. And so I think out of that normal, Dad's going to sit down and talk to me while we're sitting on the couch and there's 100 other distractions or things going on in life. This is a focused attempt. And like we said, it's a rite of passage trip. It's a handing of the baton of these values that we've been trying to live out.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is the president of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. We'll talk today to a mom and dad who have found a creative way to pass on a legacy of faith to their children. Stay tuned. Welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I'm kind of wondering if parents are listening to our program today and they've got younger kids. Should they have the younger kids continue to listen? I'm just afraid the kids are going to go, hey, I want to go on some nice vacation with Dad, you know, here in a couple of years.
Yeah, well, maybe what the parents need to do is send the children off in a corner with a map of the United States and just let them think about, where would you like to go?
Yeah, just cut off the Alaska and Hawaii because they might get big ideas, you know, if you leave those on the map.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We heard earlier about Jim Bogier's wonderful adventure to New York City with his daughter, Lauren. He joins us again on Family Life Today, along with his wife, Geraldine. Welcome back to the broadcast.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Jim is a pastor. Geraldine is a school teacher, and they live in Sacramento, California. They have 3 children, and they've written a book called Faith Legacy. And we mentioned earlier how you have 6 values that you guys have hammered out as a couple. Now, you said, Jim, these came from a sermon series, right?
Yes, Geraldine mentioned that we preached on this, but we had already laid the values out.
I was going to ask if you'd gone to the vice president here of the Bogier family.
Absolutely.
What was your part in hammering out these values that he ended up preaching on, but you both ended up passing on to your children?
Well, I think in working out exactly how we were going to do that, what were the steps we take in giving these values to our children? How do we practically make it a part of our lives? And then also analyzing how are we modeling these values for our children? We talk about that a lot in the book, and that you were talking earlier about a bridge, that you have a bridge of a relationship to your children. And that is part of the bridge, that we had already been living out these values for our children.
Right.
Not perfectly, but we had been trying, and they'd been seeing that. And in doing so, we were asking them, we want you to live out these values as well.
Now, you guys don't know this, but Barbara and I, early in our marriage, after we'd had 2 or 3 children, had a getaway. And we just did a little exercise where we attempted to hammer out what were and what became the core values of our family. And I have to tell you that what you have talked about in this book, we've experienced. Now, we don't have the same 6 that you have, but we hammered out 5. And just the fact that Barbara and I agreed upon our 5 core values in advance it settled a lot of issues as we raised our children.
You didn't agree at the beginning of that retreat. You had different values going into the retreat, didn't
you? Well, actually, what we did was she wrote a list of her top 10 values and ranked them. I wrote a list of my top 10 values and I ranked them. And then we got together and argued. I mean, excuse me, hammered out and prayerfully considered.
Discuss,
yes. Yeah, there you go. Spiritually considered our values. No, we did. We talked about them, and there was give and take. And there were some on my list that didn't make the top five and some on hers that didn't make our top five, and we consolidated others. But just the discipline that you had in your family to come up with these six probably settled a lot of arguments between you two as a couple and with your children.
Did you come up with these six by getting away for a weekend and talking about it? Or do you remember the process by which the six emerged in your thinking?
They're looking at each other like,
I have no idea where these six
came from.
I do know we didn't take a weekend away to plan this. No. We began to talk about them because, again, as Gerald said, we were trying to live these out. We hadn't necessarily put names with some of those because, like one of the values, integrity. We really wanted a person who is a person of integrity to have a good work ethic. Well, that was something we were raised with, we understood, but we began to put honesty and truth-telling and work ethic. So maybe it's a blend of some of those that we felt like we gave a name integrity and what that looks like to it.
Would you have these conversations around the table after dinner? Or what, going to bed? Or I'm just wondering where you found the time and how the conversation, did you say, hey, let's talk about our values again tonight? Or how did you do it?
It was just living life. You know, what is this that we are living out for our children? And what are we going to call this?
We realized, as I said earlier, we put a name with it, the value that we were trying to instill. And so, yes, in general, living life and having conversations.
And then at some point you said, let's drive this home through these legacy trips that you took your kids on. You took your oldest daughter to New York. When it came time for your second child, is that a son or a daughter?
A son.
He didn't want to go to New York, right?
No.
Where did he want to go?
We ended up in Pebble Beach.
And so did Geraldine get to go with him to Pebble Beach because you got to go to New York City?
Great question.
With your daughter?
A wonderful question. No.
And was Geraldine in agreement with that?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I was in agreement. It was in New York City when I wanted to go to more. I was still being a mom at home. I was holding down the fort. But we also, you know, we keep talking about the different trips. And there are so many different ways. And especially in this economy now, you know, how can we do this? We can't afford a trip to New York City. And probably today we couldn't afford a trip to New York City either. But you can take day trips. You know, take six Saturdays in a row and spend it with your child doing something they enjoy doing, mm-hmm. get into their world, and then discuss each of the values.
Why is that important? I mean, couldn't you just sit down in the evenings and say, let's talk about tonight, we're going to talk about integrity and why we want you to be a child of integrity, and Dad's going to do a devotion on that. Why the trip? Why is that a big deal?
Well, I think part of it, you want to establish something special. This is a momentous time in your relationship and in your life. But also, I guess I kind of think of it the way that you need to feed the hungry and give them something to drink before they'll really listen to what you have to say. It's kind of the same idea with your child. Get them on a plane where they feel valued, that you know what they enjoy, you know what they like to do. You want to spend time doing that with them. They want your time more than anything else. And you create a platform where they will listen to what you have to say.
We do. Even in our marriage, our target is at least once a year, we do what we call a state of the marriage date. It's a very purposeful date, not just to hang out and go to dinner, but how am I doing? How are we doing? And so,
how long does Geraldine's message last?
I get appetizer, main course, and he gets dessert. That's it.
But the point is, you're having some fun to be able to discuss issues of life.
Well, don't we all like to get away? The normal environment. When we do business, we oftentimes do retreats. Mm-hmm. We do get out of the normal environment. It helps our people think and dream and talk, and we receive those things better. And so I think out of that normal every day, Dad's going to sit down and talk to me while we're sitting on the couch and there's 100 other distractions or things going on in life. This is a focused attempt. And like we said, it's a rite of passage trip. It's a handing of the baton of these values that we've been trying to live out.
Well, it's exactly why we encourage couples to take a weekend and get away to a Weekend to Remember Marriage conference,
right.
Because it's that getaway that, like you said, getting away from life, being able to focus, being able to make it a special time that can help drive truth home in a way that you couldn't do it if you just said, okay, point one, point two, point three, we're done.
Are there some do's and don'ts for this, some things that you found after doing this number of times? You just coach a dad who's taking a daughter or a son away, or a mom who's taking a daughter or son away for a weekend. Are there some things you've learned you'd want to pass on just by way of coaching?
Well, one of the do's is, and we recommend this in the book too, is that you get other people to speak into your child's life. We ask them to provide us letters before they go that they can open each day that encourages them, that builds your child up, and they see other grown-ups seeing who they are becoming and applauding that. We also have taken them to places to talk. Jim took Lauren to a friend's house in Connecticut while they were on their trip, and they spoke about purity and how they remained pure till they were married.
So you gave them the assignment of having a conversation about that.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that meant very much to Lauren, was to have them speak into her lives, this young married couple and closer in her age, not just coming from dad and mom, but to come from somebody she knew and respected.
It was mentioned in the book about that story, but it was reminded as I reviewed the book that it wasn't, again, just a sermon from dad and mom saying, we don't want you to do this, or we want you to wait till marriage, but somebody else living that out. And I think it was a powerful time for me to sit as a dad and listen to this young couple who had actually, he had been in our student ministry years ago, and listen to them.
I'm convinced right now there are listeners who are going, okay, you've baited us long enough. What are the six values? And how do you teach them in terms of what is the object lesson you give your children on this legacy trip to drive home the point?
Well, as Jim said before, the first value is devotion, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we have Peter as being our biblical example. We have the gift of the key, and we have the question. We drive it home with the way they've been raised, in that we've been raising them with biblical values, Christ-like values, that we have been taking them to church, that we have been showing them how to read the Bible and discussing the Bible with them. And then at the end of each chapter, we have age-appropriate activities that you can do with your children to drive home the point of each of the values. But the devotion's the first one.
So, for example, what kind of an activity would you do around devotion?
Well, one is when they're about... We have it broken down in ages. Between ages 6 and 10 or 11, you could start teaching them to have TOG time, time alone with God, where they literally spend some time alone, and you set the parameters for what that is. They are in a room alone. They are having prayer time, or they can have Christian music playing, or they can be reading a book or whatever, as long as they're learning to be alone with themselves, for one, and with the Lord at the same time.
Good.
Integrity is a second value that we talk about in the book, and the gift that we give is a mirror, and we also talk about how's the mirror looking is the question.
Now, do you give an actual mirror?
Yes, we do.
How big of a mirror?
It depends on the size and style. We try to find it appropriate for a girl or boy. Nothing huge.
Guys never look in mirrors.
Exactly.
So why give a guy a mirror?
A little pocket mirror, that's all you need, right?
Because we want them to look and see themselves identifying and their identity in Christ. And we want them to look at that image that they are becoming more and more Christ-like. And really, we talk about that, not just the values, but these values are really creating, and we talk about this in a Christ-like character. So the completed picture is a child or a young adult, now a man or woman, who, as you look at the completed picture,
right,
is that of a Christ-like character. And so that's really how we premise all of this. And these are pieces of the completed puzzle. Each value fits in to complete that picture.
Who's your biblical character for integrity?
David.
Okay. Now, I think of David and I go, well, he had some lapses in integrity.
Absolutely. And we talk about that. Just like we don't have it perfect and as parents, we mess up all the time. David was too. But it was said of him that he was one who was after God's own heart. And we look at his life and we look at that, the biblical example, and we also admit that David failed.
Mm-hmm.
David messed up.
And as we think about integrity, we can think about right and wrong choices. But as I heard you guys discussing it earlier, You mentioned work ethic falls under this topic, and that was one of Barbara's core values. So right. She would really buy into your definition of integrity, teaching your children what a full day's work was and to do things right the first time. That she's big on that.
You're exactly right. And we really want this good work ethic. We don't want people to say you're lazy. What kind of representation is that of Christ and following him as a Christ follower? And I stopped at one of our son's place of employment when he was working in high school. And I said to the manager that had hired him, I said, I've got a question. Stepped outside. Our son wasn't there, Shay. And I said, how's he doing? Because we have a value of integrity. He stopped me and he said, sir, we have a value of integrity in this company, and he is doing well. He is working hard. He's going above and beyond. And I thought that was interesting that here it is, somebody noticing that he was working hard and fulfilling that integrity. I thought it was a neat story for us.
It never hurts to inspect what you expect.
Exactly. Okay, you got devotion, integrity. What's the third one?
Third one is purity. And with purity, we give them a purity ring. Some can choose some of the rings you can find in Christian stores. We let them choose the style they wanted, and they will wear that till they get married, till they replace it with their wedding band. And the biblical character is Joseph for that, because he was a man who ran from temptation and to show that it can be done, that this is a lifestyle you can live and your marriage will be stronger for waiting. So that's what we do for purity. And then the question is, what's on your hand, you know, before they go on a date? Although we encourage group dating, but when they can start dating, what's on your hand? Just to remind them of that commitment they've made to purity.
And do you define purity for them? Because in this culture, I mean, peers are defining morality and how far you go and
Version of purity may not match my version of purity.
Exactly.
Yes. And then on the legacy trip, my son and I had some great discussions about that specifically from man to man.
Yeah, you had to talk about pornography. You had to talk about all kinds of issues, right?
Absolutely. And explaining some terms to help make sure he understood what may be said in the locker room. He played some sports and those kinds of things, just to be very honest and open of what's in our brain, what's in our mind, the whole eye gate and the ear gate, what we allow to come in. So absolutely. And yes, we try to define that very clear of purity.
Okay. There's a dad who's listening to you, Jim, and he's going, you're the pastor. You know how to say these things. You're polished. You're a professional. How do you talk to a 16-year-old boy about pornography? I'll set him across the table from you. What do you say to your son about pornography and about purity?
First, we talk about the value and the respect of a woman. We begin to talk about what this means. It's amazing. You can be a great communicator, and you too are. How do you come across that table to your son? It's amazing the words that don't come out of your mouth. Guys, you don't have to be perfect in this. They may already know more than you think they know,
Your hands are clammy even now, even talking about it, aren't they?
Yes. I mean, so don't think that just
it's okay to be scared, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's just like you said earlier, we're not perfect. Man, it is nerve-wracking. We're oftentimes maybe more nervous than the child in this process. Their eyes and ears are open listening to what you say, and so we want to make sure we say it as best we can.
So do you ask him point blank if he's looked at any stuff with buddies on the internet or in magazines or movies?
Yes. And we've tried to ask it about that point blank, about that direct, and then they know that we have access to their computer, to their passwords, and we've set that up for protection from them so we can go and look and check that as well. Some people may think it's an invasion of privacy. We don't. We think it's being very, very good parents. And so we do ask them very directly those kinds of questions. And we've had some pretty open and honest conversations. Gerilyn does a wonderful job of asking questions. And we've had some great dinner conversations or after dinner conversations. In the busyness of our schedule, some people say, well, how do you have those? We make time for those. We do our best to do that. Even if we're grabbing dinner on the fly, on the run, we come home, we still try to find those times to ask those questions and to be open and honest with them. But we also are open and honest with ours. They have access. If they want to look at dad's laptop, here it is.
And if you ask the hard question, I think you have to be ready to deliver a gentle grace and a gentle forgiveness if they failed.
Absolutely.
Just to let them know that no matter what they share, no matter how shocked you might be, you're going to love them. You're going to be there for them. You're going to keep believing in them. And that you're a safe person for them to be real with and for them to fail with.
Absolutely.
And we've had some honest answers in a variety of the values, and we trust that we've done a good job of extending the grace and love, because we've also been there in different areas of struggle. And I would say to parents, dads, you may have to honestly confess some things. You may have to be willing to share and grow through that and say, hey, I haven't been perfect in this area. And not just purity, but whatever it may be. Maybe I cut some things off at the work, or maybe I didn't have a good attitude. Maybe my anger really flared up, and I have to ask for forgiveness, and I have to be honest and vulnerable about the struggles that I have. And that's risky, but it's really fair, and it's best.
You mentioned a good attitude. That's one of the six, right? Having a good attitude?
Yes, the fourth one is positive attitude.
And Mom put that on the list and said, you better talk to him about this while they're on that trip.
I like that value.
Better come home with a good attitude.
That's going to be in all capital letters in our house, right?
We often joke, even if it kills us, you're going to have a positive attitude. We joke with our kids because we believe in that so much. Positive attitude. And the gift we give is an eagle. And we simply ask the question, how high will you fly? We've often heard from others, attitude determines your altitude. Where are you going to go in life? And we believe that's so important.
We chose Paul as a biblical representative of that. We said, who else can you pick besides Paul? You know, they flog him. They try to kill him. They put him in prison. He says, yay, put me in prison. I can tell people here about Jesus. And then they let him go. Yay, thanks for letting me go. And then they say, well, we're going to kill you. Please kill me. Then I can go and be with the Lord in heaven. You know, you can't have a positive attitude better than that. So,
well, and he said, I've learned the secret of being content in all things.
Yes.
I've had plenty and I've had want. It's fine. I've learned how to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that's a great representation of a good attitude.
Now, do they put the eagle in their room? Is there a cage?
No. Not a real eagle.
Oh, sorry.
What's the fifth value?
Generosity. And we give we actually gave them a silver dollar in the year they were born. And we just asked them, what are you doing with what you hold? Hmm. And this idea of, we really want generous people. We love and serve a God who's so incredibly generous that we want to do that. And so that's where we actually talk about the biblical character is Barnabas, and really how he was generous in so much of his way.
And the generosity isn't just with your finances or your belongings, but also with your heart, with your service, with your time. We just happen to use the silver dollar as our gift.
Mm-hmm. Yes, generosity is oftentimes equated with money, but we're talking about generous in your love, in your forgiveness of
in
people.
Grace.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's where Barnabas, son of encouragement, he was the one who came alongside and was generous in support of the Apostle Paul.
Yes, even when others didn't necessarily believe in him or were scared of Paul, Barnabas came alongside. You're right.
And the last of the six?
The last is significance. And we use Jesus as our biblical example there. And it's really basically all about relationships. And then our gift is framed pictures of family and friends, people who've been significant in your life. And how are you going to be significant in other people's lives?
If I called one of your kids today and said, what are the six values, would they be able to tick them off, do you think?
I think so. I think eventually they get through all six.
Yeah, I hope so.
If not, you'd send them to the refrigerator. They could just read them off the list there.
Go on the wall.
Do they have all these object lessons of these values still in their rooms today?
Yes. I mean, our son doesn't have them at college, but yes, our daughter took them all with her when she moved out of the house, and they're all in our son's room waiting for him in college, and our daughter has them.
All right, I'm going to ask a question that I know a ton of our listeners are asking right now. And I'm looking at the front of your book, and I've noticed that your book's copyrighted. Now, there are a lot of listeners listening are going, those six values, I'd like to steal those six values. Those fit for our family.
Integrity. Be honest.
Would you give our listeners, if they really like your six values, or maybe four of the six, would you give them permission to take those values?
We would love that. We would, yes, absolutely, positively.
That's why you wrote the book, right?
Yes. We felt like that. We had somebody read the book before it went to print, and we said, well, maybe people have other values. Oh, no. We think, and this was somebody who was a grandmother, we think these are the six values. These are great. We want our children to instill in their grandchildren.
And what I'd say to anybody who's listening, as a parent, whether you're almost done or whether you're just getting started, what Jim and Geraldine have modeled here is, if you don't like their six values, or you like three of them, take, with permission, their three values that you do like and figure out two or three more that you as a couple can agree to and raise your children intentionally and embed these principles, these values in their souls because, you know what, all of us are in the process of passing on out of this life and we're passing it on to another generation. And that's really, that's the title of your book, Faith Legacy. And I just appreciate you guys and appreciate you sharing your story with our listeners. I hope many of our listeners will also leave a legacy of faith.
Thank you.
Dennis, can I just say on that, I really appreciate that. We've seen legacy around this with family life, and legacy is a big word for us. We can all leave an inheritance of something and when we talk about monetary, but we want to leave and live a life of legacy. And we just think it's so important. That word is so valued around our home that it really pictures for us the completion of this book of now handing it to them. And as they've gone off to college or whatever, we've taken them and said, now begin to live and leave your own legacy, begin to follow that. But these aren't new values with us. How could we dare hang on to them? These are values that others have had and we've just begin to give words to and things. So they're not even stealing. They are using what we've taken from others, I'm sure, as we've learned along the way.
I want to find out here, a little reality check. You said you and Barbara got away for a weekend and came up with five values for your family, right?
Right.
And I know this was a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
You still remember what the five are?
Yeah. Well, in general, they weren't words exactly like this, but first and foremost was love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind.
Oh, so these guys stole that one from you.
They did.
Basically.
I think they got it.
You found us.
Yeah.
I think secondly is the greatest mission a person can be on in their lives. That's the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. Be a part of proclaiming the gospel. Number three was Barbara's, the work ethic. Number four was mine, which is relating to people and loving people. And I have fulfilled what you wanted me to do, Bob. I have forgotten what number five is.
I just thought
I was stalling. I was trying to go, where is it? I know it's there.
Let's call Barbara.
She'd probably remember.
We'll call her and see if we can put it up on the website at familylifetoday.com, which is also where we have copies of the book Faith Legacy that you guys have written. And if our listeners are interested, go to familylifetoday.com. The book again is called Faith Legacy by Jim and Geraldine Bogier, and you can order it from us online or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY, 1-800-358-6329, 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And even if you don't wind up using the same six values that you guys use,
yes,
you may want to borrow some of the ideas from this book as you develop a plan of your own for your family and how you want to pass these values on and whether you want to do some kind of rite of passage trip like you guys have done. Again, the book is called Faith Legacy. Order online at familylifetoday.com or call us at 1-800-FL-TODAY. And we hope you have a great weekend. Hope you and your family can worship together this weekend. And I hope you can join us back on Monday when we're going to talk to a couple who have made hospitality a priority. And they've got some great ideas about how you can become more hospitable without it being a big stressor for you. Okay? So I hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, and our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We will see you back Monday for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
It's easy to thank God for the things we like.
Ever since our son died, my husband's been withdrawn. I know we need to talk about it, but he doesn't want to.
In marriage, difficult circumstances will either drive husband and wife apart or closer together.
We were totally caught off guard by my cancer.
Some friends of ours had a baby with Down syndrome.
They're divorced now.
It tore them apart.
Failing to anticipate hard times or not knowing how to respond when they do hit can challenge the oneness in any marriage. The answer lies in what is commonly referred to as the sovereignty of God. If He is truly involved in the smallest details of our lives, as He claims to be, then we can rest in knowing He has a purpose behind the adversities we face.
My because it can strengthen our faith.
Someone said, faith is the refusal to panic. I like that.
Brought to you by Family Life Today and Weekend to Remember. Love like you mean it.
Thank you for listening to Family Life Today. And now I'd like to take just a second to tell you about a great new way to listen to our program. It's called Zubio. Every day, Zubio gathers all of your favorite shows, just like Family Life Today, into a unique, personalized playlist that automatically downloads to your computer or to your MP3 player. When I use Zubio, every day I wake up and a playlist is created in iTunes of all of my favorite programs. And now instead of listening to a show and then backing out three steps and then choosing another show and clicking to listen to it, Zubio instead just plays them sequentially and in whatever order that I predetermine. It allows me to listen to more programs in less time, and I can even skip portions of programs or entire programs really easily. Zubio truly makes my listening experience hassle-free. To find out more, just go to our website, familylifetoday.com, and click on the Zubio icon. Stay connected to Family Life Today and all of your favorite programs with Zubio.